Chapter 71. "It's from the Dragonfish," Admiral Kemper said, reading the latest in a long line of communications. "Her captain has sent a work party aboard the Titanic to assist Pitt and his salvage crew. He states that the derelict should remain afloat, even with numerous leaks during the tow, providing, of course, she's not struck by another hurricane."
"Thank God for small favors," Marshal Collins exhaled between yawns.
"He also reports," Kemper went on, "that Mrs. Seagram is on board the Titanic and is in rare stage form, whatever that means."
Mel Donner moved out of the bathroom, a towel still draped over his arm.
"Would you repeat that, Admiral?"
"The captain of the Dragonfish says that Mrs. Dana Seagram is alive and well."
Donner rushed over and shook Seagram, who was sleeping fitfully on the couch.
"Jean, wake up. They've found Dana. She's all right."
Seagram's eyes blinked open, and for long seconds he looked up at Donner, astonishment slowly spreading across his face.
"Dana? Dana is alive?"
"Yes, she must have been on the Titanic during the storm."
"But how did she get there?"
"We don't know all the details yet. We'll just have to wait it out. But the important thing is that Dana is safe, and the Titanic is still afloat."
Seagram hung his head in his hands and sat there, huddled and shrunken. He began sobbing quietly. Admiral Kemper was thankful for the distraction when a very tired Commander Keith entered and handed him another signal.
"This one's from Admiral Sandecker," Kemper said. "I think you'll be interested in what he has to say, Mr. Nicholson."
Warren Nicholson and Marshal Collins both eased away from Seagram and gathered around Kemper's desk.
"Sandecker says, visiting relatives have been entertained and furnished with guest bedroom. Got something in my eye during the party last night, but enjoyed belting out good old song favorites like Silver Threads Among the Gold. Say hello to Cousin Warren and tell him I have a present to give him. Having wonderful time, wish you were all here. Signed, Sandecker."
"It seems the Admiral has a strange way with words," said the President. "Just what in hell is he trying to get across?" Kemper stared at him sheepishly. "The Russians apparently boarded during the eye of the hurricane."
"Apparently," the President said icily.
"Silver threads among the gold," Nicholson said excitedly. "Silver and gold. They've caught the two espionage agents."
"And your present, Cousin Warren," Collins said, grinning with every tooth, "must be none other than Captain Andrei Prevlov."
"It's imperative that I get on board the derelict as soon as possible," Nicholson said to Kemper. "How soon can you arrange transportation for me, Admiral?"
Kemper's hand was already reaching for the phone.
"Inside 30 minutes, I can have you on a Navy jet that will land you on the Beecher's Island. From there, you can take a helicopter to the Titanic."
The President stepped over to a large window and gazed out at the rising sun, as it crept above the eastern horizon and fingered its rays across the lazy waters of the Potomac. He yawned, a long, comfortable yawn.